Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Deborah Becker, in for Sasha Pfeiffer. Treating addiction is often a complicated process for everyone involved, but often the first step for many is going through detox to detoxify an addict physically so the emotional treatment can begin. The problem is that hospital beds for detox are in short supply in the Boston area, and there may be even fewer of them soon. Brigham and Women's Faulkner Hospital plans to close its detox unit and instead treat opiate addiction with a substance known as Suboxone, which is supposed to help addicts reduce their cravings for opiates. Those plans will be the subject of a public hearing tomorrow, and among those testifying is Betsy Berry. She's niece of former First Lady Kitty Dukakis. She was treated at Faulkner's detox unit. We spoke with her earlier today and thanked her for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And Virginia Kelly McDonald is an addiction nurse who's worked at the Faulkner unit since it opened in 1985. Kelly, thanks to you as well.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, Betsy, if you could briefly tell us first about your experience at Faulkner detox. What was it like?
I was at a time in my life where I didn't know where to go. I was on a very large amount of narcotics that I was addicted to. I wanted to kill myself. I didn't have the guts to do it, but I wanted to do it.
What was your drug of choice, and how much were you doing?
I was taking any kind of narcotics I could get, Percocet, Vicodin, Demerol. And thank God my aunt got me into the Faulkner Hospital, basically, and I was there for 4 days, and I had intense treatment, and I learned, you know, the tools I was going to need to stay sober, and I met a lot of people that were in the same situation as me. That was a huge component for me to stay sober, the fact that I had people there that were in the exact same situation as me, and they had actually recovered.
And the treatment itself, what did it consist of, and do you think it needs to be done in the hospital?
I absolutely don't think that I would have been okay if I had been at home trying to get this treatment, actually. You know, the fact that it worked so well was because there weren't any other distractions there. I was solely focusing on my sobriety. I saw many different kinds of counselors, doctors, psychiatrists. I was put on a medications to keep me physically from withdrawing. You know, I got everything I needed, and I can't imagine that could possibly happen if I wasn't in the hospital.
Kelly, would that same type of treatment that Betsy received in 2006, is that similar, that 4 days of intensive treatment like that, is that similar to what Faulkner offers now?
Yes, it is. You know, stopping an addictive substance abruptly causes a withdrawal process that, you know, if it's left untreated, it can lead to physical complications that can be life-threatening. And you know, it really takes an experienced addiction specialist to observe and treat these withdrawal symptoms. You know, we've observed changes in blood pressure, cardiac irregularity, mental status changes. You know, people can see things or hear things, withdrawal seizures. It takes an addiction specialist, and in a unit like this is the best place to treat these people to achieve the best outcome.
What are you seeing right now, Kelly, in terms of folks coming in, and do you have enough beds, or what do you have what do you tell people when they call? How many calls are you getting? We're hearing that particularly opiate abuse in Massachusetts is really at almost, some folks say, an epidemic level. What do you see as an addiction nurse on the front lines?
On the front line, in terms of opiate addiction, we're seeing not only more opiate-dependent clients, but we're seeing really a polysubstance dependence. We're seeing more and more complex addictions.
Do you have to turn people away?
We do. We turn people away. I hear from some patients it's so hard to get in. I keep calling and calling. It's so hard to find beds in this area.
What's the average cost for detox at Faulkner right now?
Well, I'm not privy to that information. What I can tell you about cost is that the insurance companies pay considerably less for what you call a detox bed as they would for a medical bed. The patient would also have progressed to the point where the disease is chronic and they've developed medical complications. They'd have to be more physically ill And personally, I can't see why we want to wait until the person would get that sick.
How much of this debate over treating substance abuse and how do we treat it and do we have detox, how much of it is viewed as a moral failing and not a disease? And that's why it might be difficult to get treatment. What do you think, Betsy?
I think that's a question that I, you know, is very popular amongst addicts and alcoholics. But from what I've learned from the Faulkner and AA and other people in recovery, that it's not a moral issue at all. I mean, I certainly didn't want to be the person that I was. It was horrible. It was horrible. And I wouldn't have known there was another way to live if I hadn't have come to the Faulkner Hospital.
Betsy Berry was treated at the detox unit at Faulkner Hospital in 2006. We also spoke with Virginia Kelly McDonald, who's been a nurse at the hospital's detox unit since it opened in 1985. We also talked with Ed Listenkraft. He's the hospital's vice president of professional and clinical services, and we asked him how closing the detox unit fits into the hospital's restructuring.
We currently have an average daily census of 8 to 10 patients on our unit, and our intention is to move those patients to a modern medical unit and have them managed by an addiction medical team.
Now, we just heard from one of the nurses from the detox unit, and she suggested that it would actually end up costing more to put someone in a general medical bed, and they might have to meet different medical criteria and be at a stage of the detoxification process where it was medically severe.
The same process that people get into our inpatient unit now would be still intact. They would call our behavioral health triage line. If they meet hospital level of care, they would come on to the unit on that addiction services team on their current benefit, so it would not increase costs.
But meeting hospital level of care might be something different than it is for meeting detoxification level of care,
and
couldn't that be?
No, it's the same level of care for the patients we're serving today. One of the things that's changing in our patient population is the medical acuity. These folks are very sick medically, and oftentimes they can't make use of the group programs that we have on the unit. So what we're trying to do is to treat the medical condition as well as the addiction. And the role of that addiction counselor is to launch some treatment and then to make sure they make a connection to our ambulatory programs. Nothing is changing in our ambulatory programs, and that's where recovery really can take place over time.
I also have a question about the numbers. You said you have 8 to 10.
Correct.
And now you'll have 6 beds throughout the hospital. Is that right?
Correct. There are 15 bedrooms, but we have never had more than 8 to 10. Occasionally, we go to 11 on a given day. But that demand at that for this level of care is not been there because so much of it has become more and more ambulatory.
Is the, maybe not you, but the prevailing medical thinking that sort of blanket detox isn't really necessary for quite so many people?
Right now, to be a patient on our unit, you have to have something else going on in your clinical picture than just your detoxification. What we're trying to do is to do what only a hospital can do, which is treat the sickest of this population.
Regardless of whether it's 15, 8, 10, however many beds, you're going down to 6. It is a reduction. And we know that there is a shortage of beds, and we also know that Massachusetts was recently ranked as having one of the highest rate of emergency room visits involving illicit drugs out of anywhere in the country. Why reduce the number of beds when we've obviously got this problem, according to the numbers?
The misconnection here is that those patients have to meet hospital level of care to get into our unit. And that's precisely what doesn't happen today, which is why we're not ever a 15-bed unit. The other major innovation that we're doing is we're launching a Suboxone clinic for the treatment of opiate-addicted patients, because that is the current science of opiate detoxification.
I think that if folks were cynical, they might say this is just a lower-cost way to treat folks with drug problems.
I would tell you honestly that this is not a financial decision in any way. It's been a patient safety and best practice medicine decision by the leadership team.
Ed Listenkraft, Vice President of Professional and Clinical Services at Faulkner Hospital, thanks for being with us.
Thanks very much.